You know, I say this so often. It's a pleasure to be a Christian. I see so many people, and it looks like it's a great burden to them to serve God. But only God knows the joy and jubilance it is to me to be a Christian. It is so heavenly and so wonderful, truly, and as well said, that serving God is joy. I have great joy. The Bible said great peace. Serving God is peace. Great peace have they that love thy law. I love God's law and I have great peace. Great peace. An unending, everlasting peace. And an undisturbed repose in Christ. It is so good. It is such a great consolation. A consoling feeling. To be a Christian, a great consolation, a peace that passeth all understanding. So then, I'm glad I'm a Christian, and when I say something to you about coming here, I come to the sacred desk and I say that, you know, I'm glad to be here and that it's a real thrill to me to be here. I know, you know, with some people, when they look at me, that's just routine, and they feel like it's a ritualistic thing with me, you know. But it's not. It's not vain repetition. I really mean that. Day by day, as I say that, it is a thrill, an exciting thing. It is a thrill to me to be able to come into the sanctuary. A thrill. And I don't come in hostile. Some of you feel like sometimes I come in hostile. I felt then just a little bit of hostility and a little bit of resentment, arrogance to start moving in the audience. It wasn't there when I started talking, but all of a sudden it started moving just a little bit. I can tell when it starts moving, I can tell the section usually is coming from. And as it moves on, I can tell the person is coming from other people. But I felt just a little bit of something that just all of a sudden went off color with the Holy Spirit. Just all of a sudden. But I don't come here with hostility. I don't come here with arrogancy. I don't come here with vainly lifted up in pride. I'm just saying some of these things that your mind takes on, that Satan puts in your mind, different ones of you. And here's something else he puts in your mind. I don't come here arrogant. I don't come here to fight. I don't come here to resent. I don't come here to mock. I don't come here to find fault. I don't come here to put you down and put me up. I don't come here lifted up. I don't come here thinking that I'm some great person and that you are something beneath my notice. I don't come with that at all. Not at all. When I come in here, I come in here to the best of my ability with thanksgiving. I check my heart outside with thanksgiving and with humility and with fear and reverence to God in his holy place. And I come in here, I don't come in here lighthearted. A lot of times things are said and it's taken lighthearted. Whereas I speak a lot of times of mocking God because I got people that are lighthearted. You go check the dictionary and you'll find out that to be lighthearted, the dictionary teaches, it is to mock. Anything that is lightly esteemed is a mockery. To lightly esteem what I say to you, whereas the Bible said, give the more honest heed to it, take heed how you hear. To lightly esteem these words that's coming forth from my mouth and that it's not me speaking but the Heavenly Father, to your instruction, to your benefit, to your security, your eternal security, even future security. I come here to talk with you, and when it is lightly esteemed, and that what I say is not incorporated in your life, not used in your life, it is lightly esteemed, then you're mocking God, not me. The Bible said you do it to the least of these, you do it to Christ. And you're mocking God. And you lose your eternal security. This is why God cut them off in the wilderness. They murmured and complained against Moses. And God cut every one of them off. Do you realize that not one of them that murmured against Moses went in? Not even one of them. Joshua was the only one that was spared. And he didn't murmur against Moses. He was Moses' comrade. He stayed right with Moses. God said, see that you do everything, Joshua, exactly the way I instructed my servant Moses. He listened to everything that Moses had to say so that he could be one with him in spirit just like that. And then God picked up Caleb to give Joshua a companion in the labor. See, I don't come up here with any of those things that your mind accuses me of. And there's minds out there that accuse me continually. And when they start accusing me, you're doing that unto the Lord. Though I'll be less than nothing. And the Spirit of God a lot of times just cuts off just like that. No water. It's like I was telling Bill this morning, some of the brethren, see, it's been about a month that you haven't had any water. Because something was dropped in the well. It was wrong for it to be dropped in the well. But nevertheless, God had his way in it. It had a spiritual significance. It had to be that way. God had his way in it. And for about a month, the Lord has let us understand the old saying that you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And that well withholding the water, and that the angel spoke of the good well of water, indicated that we have not been detailing and bringing forth revelation from the deep rock, launching out into the deep, bringing out the deep things from the water table that's far down into the earth, water from the rock. Moses asked the question one time. He said, must he bring water from the rock? Whereas God smote him because he called them rebels, and he got so upset till he took the glory to himself, and God smote him. Somebody says that God smote him because Moses smote the rock. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. Moses was supposed to smite the rock. He was typical of God. He was made God unto the people. And it was God that smote Jesus. And the Bible said that rock that followed them was Christ Jesus. And being God, he smote the rock. Because had not God smote the rock, Christ Jesus, no water would have ever come forth. You'd have never had the Spirit. It was the smiting and giving up of his only beloved Son that ever brought me a swallow of water. That's why Jesus said, if you'd ask, speaking to the woman, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water. You wouldn't have had to come here to drink. See, because I'm that rock, Jesus was saying, and out of this rock comes forth the water. So today, ye are the rock that God spoke of, even the rock, the stone of stumbling that God has laid in Zion. And it's when the world smites you, having been killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. As the Bible uses the terms in this, more than conquerors. Being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, God has smote you in the behalf of the people, that you might water the earth, even as Lot was the salt of the earth. And the Bible said, the day that he went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came down. You are the salt of the earth. You are what keeps it from spoiling. You keep down the spoilage. So then, I said all that to say this. Moses had to smite the rock. It was God. That was the only way over the Jordan. They would have perished for water in the wilderness had not God smote the rock. So God didn't do that to Moses because he smote the rock. That was right in the will of God. And he didn't do it because he called the people rebels, because God himself referred to them in that way. Saying they were a rebellious people. That's where the word rebel comes from. It's to rebel. When the North fought the South, they called them rebels because they rebelled against the order of Lincoln and against the Northern armies that wanted to free the slavery, people from slavery. But the thing that God smote Moses for was because he was a type of Jesus. He had to be smitten. He was the rock of that day. And that's where the water came from. Jesus, the prophet, like unto Moses. He was the Jesus, the God of that day. God within the veil. And God did it because he took to himself the glory. There was nothing else Moses could do. Being God, where could the glory come from but from Moses? The only way the glory could get into the earth was through Moses. But the Bible speaks of him not glorifying God in the sense that he was to glorify the God in the eyes of the children of Israel by saying, must God bring you forth water from the rock? But he didn't do that. So then, today we know that it's Christ, the rock. And as a matter of fact, it comes to my mind as I was telling Brother Bill and him up here just a few minutes ago. I said, Bill, I don't have anything to do with this whatsoever, not anything. I said, God brings water to the thirsty. I said, it wouldn't matter whether it come from Brother Pike or whoever it come from. I said, when you hunger and thirst, I said, it's going to come forth. Like Brother Branham said, I've got a gift. But he said, I have nothing to do with working the gift. It's when you believe that it works. And that's true. Paul healed because it was Christ and not Paul. When he perceived that somebody had faith to be healed. Now, a powerhouse, as we often say, a transformer can't give any light unless there's a living receptacle in that connected to the powerhouse. And also that the switch, which is that little faith, little switch of faith in between has to be thrown. Though you might have a living receptacle, you might have power in the transformer, you might have correct wiring and everything might be connected, but unless that little switch of faith is thrown, you'll never have the connection. And when you throw it, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Somebody says, Abraham waited for a certain time. You don't have to wait. It's just like that. Abraham waited because the promise had not yet come and had a certain time to be fulfilled. But since the day of Pentecost, you don't have to wait. It's just like that. He's here everywhere. Now, I just want to say that to say this. And sitting up into the, I was sitting up here in Bill's room this morning. While I was sitting there, Bill asked me a question. Some of them, whoever, I don't know, I was going to answer it. No intentions whatsoever getting into Revelation. I was just going to answer a question. And when I started to answer the question, all of a sudden, I went into the mind of Revelation and the gift of God that's in the Christian's life began to work. And I'm aware of it when it begins to work. And as it began to work, I was fully aware that something was happening. And I stopped because I was done going into Revelation talking and the brethren was listening real reverently and I stopped. Not to stop the anointing, but I knew that God wasn't wanting me to get into Revelation up there in the sense that it was about time for service. God isn't, he don't work in a confusing way to cross things. While I got Brother Taylor here doing this, me up there doing that, he don't do that. A lot of times people do that and brethren do that and they get off in another place and do that or they get on the campground or they go over here and start a little work. And they say, God told me because I'm getting something over here. In the day of grace, even the briar gets something. Even the tare gets something. But that don't make it right. The Bible said, he that seemeth to have somewhat, it shall be taken away from him, even the talents, because he didn't utilize his ability in Christ. He didn't correctly follow the channel that he was instructed to follow. But anyway, I stopped. All of a sudden, I just stopped. Because the anointing had done started speaking, and I stopped. Very careful not to quench the spirit. The Bible said, quench not the spirit, don't despise prophesy. When God's spirit wants to use his body or the membership of his body, it should never be quenched at any time. This is what we're for, what we're here for, is to hear from heaven. You being a priesthood, a royal priesthood, a kingship, you're supposed to be the body of Jesus that God can speak through to the world, Achanda. But see, like the well, this has been a good well of water, the angel said, and it's coming from the rock, him Christ, the rock that followed him. But through the infiltration of your many minds, you've inserted a little bit of this, a little bit of ball game, a little bit of TV, a little bit of this on the side, even down at my house. There's things that I just don't like, and listen to some of those little tapes, and I fuss about it, and sometimes throw them away, tear them up, do all kind of things. The kids wind up with some of those things again. And all of the campground added a little bit of this and ripping the shirt down a little bit and not wearing anything under the dress and under the suits and the clothing and trying to show the form and a little bit too form-fitting and everything else, a little bit carnality and minds on passions and minds degraded and going to the wrong place every time you think of each other until the well had got stopped up and it overloaded the pump and knocked the pump out. I think this is at least the third pump. At least we've come that far. Going into the third pool or going over it, and this is the laser that reaches to the moon, as we would say, and that is the goal for the church, the new world. Crossing the Jordan, as we say, concerning the stones that they brought back from the moon, put in Houston, Texas, and we spoke of the crossing of the Jordan, putting those stones there as a memorial of that great span of death that you can't get over, putting them in Houston. Whereas that had to do with it when we went down to Houston, down into Central America, Santa Rosa, Georgia Jr. going down now to Portland, Texas. Dale, my son-in-law, and my daughter Susie coming from out of Santa Rosa, going down into Texas, Corpus Christi, Preacher Rolf, the Columbus meeting. I'm just saying this compact, in a compact way, because it took a long time to detail it. But when we had the meeting there in Columbus, when it had to do with the tent, John, and another brother's name, if I can get it to register, Butler, Brother Butler, having to do with the entrance and the door and the crossing over, going into Mississippi. I'm just saying this because this is on tape. Going into Mississippi, the dragon, Brother Wilson, the thing that was thrown out into the rivers, we started the meeting that night. And the man that was over in New York that we had the little confrontation with up there and him having the meeting and what it had to do with down at that snow cone place. Of course, there were some other things that happened concerning that same area that had to do with us, my wife and Dale. But anyway, while I was up in the room up here talking, we was mentioning this and the infiltration of the well. I got stopped up. Naturally speaking, when we drilled, we took an iron encasement. We went over the Jordan, as we say. It was a cold, icy night, and a big flame in a pot reaching up. It had to do with the $1,000 that I had to get by faith, which had to do with the crossing into the millennium, but for a time period. And when they put the iron encasement down into the well, they hit the rock. They sealed out all the mud around it. And from the top all the way down to the rock, it was sealed into the rock. But they pounded and broke that seal. When they broke the seal, all the water could ease in there and all of the clay and whatever could come down behind that pipe and go in through the broken seal and down into the well, even down into the rock. We had problems. No filters, It ruined all the fixes round about. Because the broken seal had to do with infiltration. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the change of the body, the day of redemption, even the coming in of the millennium and the redeemed earth, into the briars are taken away at that time. They pounded till they broke the seal. And though they blowed the well out just like we did yesterday with the air compressor, they cleaned it out, they cleaned the rocks, they cleaned everything out. We had a good well of water. Yet the infiltration came because of the broke seal. People murmuring, complaining, and the first covenant was broken. And Moses came down off of the mountain and he throwed the stones down to signify that people had murmured and complained so much against Moses that they had broken the covenant. So the first covenant was broken, which signified the law. And then came the second covenant. But it was the same Moses that went and got the second covenant. A lot of people don't differentiate properly, so they separate, and there are the covenants. They put Moses aside to bring in somebody else. But Moses wasn't put aside. It was the same Moses that went back for the second covenant. 80 days. There he was without water and without food. He went and got the second covenant. He brought down the second covenant. This time it wasn't broken. He expedited the move of God. That is to say, he appeared in another form. He went away in that form. That is the Christ, the God of Israel, went away after that Jesus had thoroughly accomplished his purpose in the first Adam, which was the broken that was to be folded up and laid away that death had taken. And then the second, which was the Jesus that had successfully done the will of his Father in everything, which was the second covenant, pleasing the Father in all things. One folded up and laid away in death to rest in its lot. Seal it up, Daniel. And the broken seal brought the ebbing of the blood, even at Calvary, when the veil was rent in twain, and caused the spilling of the blood, which was human life, and the seepage, in that it was broke concerning the tree in the garden and knowledge. It was broken in the seepage of death, in that man's blood leaked out of him, continually leaking out of him as a broken seal. Life ebbing away until Calvary, and then the seal was taken care of. The seal was all right. This is what I feel had to do with this out here. I had asked Kim to get a sure seal. It was supposed to be an excellent seal. And the man was going to provide it for us because we were putting a new sleeve in. The only thing is, when Kim went to get it, he gave him an imitation and a cheap seal to signify the first. It was no good and broken. And he told Kim it was a real good seal because he hadn't got the other seal. I said, Kim, you can put it down there, but I knew that the man wasn't telling him the truth about it. He just wanted to make a sale because he didn't have the other. So it didn't work. It didn't work. God let the seepage come anyway to the extent that there was a problem. But that which was seeping and ebbing away was the blood of man, the life of man, all the way from Calvary because of the serpent. All the way from Calvary down to, or all the way from the garden to Calvary. Down to Calvary it came, and then the broken seal was shown in the first man, Adam. He was folded up. He was laid away. Life being lost. God had sealed life in Adam. But through the weakness of the woman, that the spear that was put into the side showed, life was lost. And that's why it's customary with the woman after the manner of women monthly. That's why it's like that. It indicates the loss of life in Calvary, the bringing forth of the child. But at Calvary, it changed. It went back to male rule, and it changed from the female rule and went back to male rule. And in doing that, it indicated that as it is after the manner of women, after a certain age, it's called the change of life, going to the church, that after that, there is no more travail because there is no more loss of life in that the life is in the bud. So at Calvary, the change came. And the woman that was taken from the man that was female was no longer female, but male. Sons of God in Christ Jesus were all sons of God, restored back to sonship that is one with her husband, not to travail to reproduce his image anymore, but that Calvary was the bar mitzvah under the law until the bar mitzvah, the chains. And then came the faith, the Gentiles, the birth of the child. Of course, we've got it on tape as we preach it through the church ages and what happened. There is an expose of headship, even as Christ, the head, broke through the spheres, went up into the heavenlies, broke through and sits on the throne as the headship to show the birth of the child, the travail, and after that the physicians work with the child. And it's up to the sevenfold church age as God has it through the seven church age messengers. While the woman goes into a twilight or a sleep, and the child is quick as it's born at the end of the church ages, the rapture, Thessalonians change, Revelation 12, the child goes into power, comes up to the throne. With that, the wife is one with her companion. Then she goes into the purifying, which has to do with the church ages and the tribulation. This is shown in the tribulation by Israel, in that they are the natural members to the natural head, while we are the spiritual members to the spiritual Christ. They are the natural members to the natural Jesus. One side shown natural, another side shown spiritual. I told Kim, I said, go to the well and you'll get water. Kim was going to use the double pressure on it. I said, take a flex pipe, throw it down in there and you'll get water. He did. It knocked everything out of there. Knocked the mud out, whereas the sleeve that we had put down in there, the white sleeve, had gone down as an interliner in the iron sleeve where the seal was broke. It went down in there. When it went down into the pipe, it went on past the broken seal and into the rock that we might seal all of that out of that of the Jordan in between. So last night they blasted away until they come out with clear water. They kept blasting until they were covered with mud, about four or five of them. Same way four or five worked on the top of the building down here. When they were thoroughly covered with mud and coal getting over the Jordan, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'll cover them with that plastic. Let them go home and change clothes. When they return, I'll cover them with the plastic. And this will signify the glorification and the protection from the mud. So I didn't tell them. I just told them they need to go home and change. So they went home and changed. I said, Revelation is taking place and it's going to continue to take place when you come back. Some things are going to take place. So when they come back, of course, Brother Jerry being there with them, Brother Lambert, they took the plastic, got their new clothes or their chains, got out the cold, wet clothes, muddy and dirty, got under there, and the fresh water came. What mud was left come sweeping down on those garments, and the white, clear water just washed the mud away. They went through their glorification of their chains, protected from the mud over the Jordan into Canaan. Foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Same time, Brother Hollis and Johnny and Kim, they was working on a pipe, putting a head on it. Mac had brought up there a gray pipe, which had to do with the serpent. They dropped that long flex down in there, and when that power was turned loose from that machine that Brother Hollis had, it knocked that thing slap out of the well. That whole thing, 110, 15 feet, climbed out of that well that fast. The old serpent was thrown out. And then came the clear water. But anyway, I said that to say this. The power unit that Brother Hollis had gotten, about $300, $350, had to do with half that tribulation period. And the power of the international motor, or that which had to do with international, and the minister going international, him being the black man, having to do with another well, a new well, blasting it out, cleaning it out, getting the effects of the rock, the water out of the rock this time, nice and clear as it was, caught it on film. At the same time, Brother Darrell working on the top of the building down here, you could see the flame of the pillar of fire by night as he welded, as she blazed up above that roof. Let's catch it on film. A cloud by day by the smoke, a pillar of fire by night by the glare. And the flame being seen through the wilderness of the crossing of that Jordan, and then after we hit the clear water, the flame went out, which had to do with Brother Branham and the pillar of fire by night. That is to say, God and Moses in the midst of the people doing an intellectual, quote, doing an intellectual wilderness of God passing through intellectual reasoning. And of course, the meeting down in the valley has to do with that very thing. Going down into the valley has to do with the chains. Going down the valley has to do with the beginning of a thing. It has to do with a tent. That had to do with Brother Brown and Brother Cunningham and a partnership. Has to do with a lot of patches where things were sown and a lot of hard work. It has to do with a muddy experience when we were there in the valley. Has to do with Brother Grady and Brother Ben Gahele when they were there, and the death of his little baby, a little bird that appeared that died. Has to do with Gastonia and the bird that appeared up there a few days back in the tent when Brother Grady and Brother Bob was under the tent. Has to do with the little superstar cap that was picked up at the meeting up yonder. Has to do with David Paul. Has to do with those cradles down there at the building. I'm saying has to do with these things because if I detail it, it would take all day and all night. But if I drop these thoughts in as God speaks to you, you place them like pieces in a puzzle, and you'll be, as the world says, astounded and flabbergasted. But anyway, the pillar of fire, the cross had been made. I had told some of them, as we put up the king rafter, that it had to do with the bow, the ark. Set my bow in the clouds, and about the time that we got it set up, Brother Dale Clark came down and gave to me a little tag that goes on the car with a beautiful rainbow, and gave to me a cover with a rainbow on it. And in that, his little daughter had written the revelation of Jesus Christ. The arch, the great king rafter. The flood was over of that muddy mess of water that we'd had in the basement year after year, when the stuff was ruined that was placed in the basement and the kids making havoc out of it, full of water and mud for years. And when we put up, as I crossed my hands like this, that extended far beyond the top of the walls of three stories, put up those poles that come from Brother David Wine, the best wine for the last, when it made the cross out, and it went up that way, and the saw that Brother Cobbs had given us from his dad that had to do with the new harvest. We say the corn on the cob. Sitting down there in the middle of it, in that we was using that saw to build the building with. In that he's already gone over the Jordan. That looked like a big ship. A big shrimp boat. Where they dropped the birds into the water for the balancing. And then one went right straight up in the middle like a mast from the three-pole tent, making it one, two, three. Just like the little tent that it had to do with that in the Carolinas concerning Brother Pedaris, the Tabernacle of God, and many things that we don't have time to detail. But anyway, there was the post. And there, as they went up with these rafters having the bottom out the way they were, they looked just like sails being lifted on a boat. It was the ark, getting over the ark at the same time. Sister Betty and I was transitionally speaking, transacting some things with the bank. And this had to do with purchasing of the new property over here where Brother Bullard and them's coming over from Mississippi. Father, great waters getting over the flooded area. Coming over here, moving into that and the little red barn over there, having to do with David Paul when he started his little business in a little red barn out here. Numbers of things that we'd have to go through to explain. But anyway, the new earth coming in. The cornerstone. Brother Bullard and him having to do with it. Getting over the Jordan, the house, the Father's house, the ark landing. As the waters of Noah to me, the Bible said this is as the waters of Noah to me, speaking of Jesus, the days of Jesus, even the Father's house, the many members of the church body. Like I say, I can't detail that because if I did, I never would get through here within hours. But anyway, going over, Mr. Ruark said, I can handle the situation for 7 years, which had to do with the church ages, which has to do with the tribulation period, but not being sufficient. We said we'll go another route, and that it had to do with coming out of the ark, Mr. Ruark, the transactions. Being the time of the inheritance of the brethren, I sent David Paul another way, and David come back with the Heritage Bank, in that when they cross the Jordan, they receive their heritage or inheritance with the Heritage Bank and with the Federal Reserve, which said, sure, whatever you want to work it, ever how you want to work it, whatever time that is. So the ark landed, as we would say, in a change, because the boat at Apalachicola's being finished up. Corpus Christi, the corpse of Christ. Rick, the name Rick means king of all. George Jr. down in Portland, the landing at. Dale and him going down from Santa Rosa. Ricky falling from the two-story building, as some of you maybe know and maybe some of you don't know. Injuring his feet, having to do with the soul and whatever. Dale and him going down there at this time. A lot we could say about that. But anyway, with the ark landing, it relates back to Brother JT, the white tent that come over we predicted would set out here, whereas it did, and the flood that struck when we were over in Louisville, Kentucky. There, as we were preaching over the bridge where Brother Branham saw it, the bridge and the men that was killed on the bridge, having to do with the crossing and the span over the Jordan that he had to do with. Intellectually speaking, as to the Jordan, spiritually speaking, as to the Christ and the cross, the bridge. So, the mind of Christ over, and the serpentine stream of the Jordan from the old tree of knowledge flowing down through the channels that it cut out down through the years. With this down here, we took the sleeve after the crossing. the arch, the bow in the clouds, the rainbow, Brother Dale. And then we brought the two wings in this way, the law and the prophets, as it was connected with Calvary for the perfect crossing, over the vaulted ceiling where the big light of the house would hang, in that the Lamb is the light of the city. There it is, finished. And then Kim came and they crossed over the Jordan, loaded out, got a new well now. Even the well that the Jews bring in, having to do with the black man, which is Brother Hollis, his power unit, and there's another one that we're going to get like that if everything works well. Show the other half of the tribulation. A connection of that full power. With that, it'll eventually clean all of the fixtures that's been infiltrated. And the operation and mechanism of each house will function beautifully. And a filter will be put on it to keep out death, even the filter of the seal of the Holy Spirit. Coming into a garden here at Bethlehem, making it the head of the nations to bring in Brother Branham's followings as the Jews come in, to be the head of the nation, in that they could never be the head of the nation because their head had left them. But the return of that great, wonderful God, that Christ, even in Moses, got the second covenant. Coming back in a new form, in another form. This time not in intellectual quotes, but as it was with the cloud that we saw descend out of heaven, where the fire left it, cloud by day. No fighting of the enemies. God gave Solomon peace. The days of David that had to do with the Brother Branham, there was no peace. He couldn't build the house of God. He gathered material, west to world evangelism and lively stones. For the days of Solomon, it was so that it was built. And there was peace all around. Solomon took heathen wives, which indicated that in the days of Solomon, it was not a Jewish move as it was with David, and that David only married Jewish women. But Solomon married heathen women of every tribe, which meant the crossing of the Jordan in the days of the Gentiles. Whereas God indicated this by David and his misdemeanor of life in Bathsheba, bringing in the Gentiles, even the son Solomon. But first son dead, showing the rejection of the first son of the Gentiles, which is the first birth. Second son, or next son Solomon, the spiritual son coming in, even the Gentiles, and yet not the Gentiles, but the bride. So Solomon came in, married the heathen women, which meant that God had brought a Pentecost and everybody had been accepted according to faith. So, coming over the Jordan, the infiltration, the leavening, whatever, but God taking the life of the first son because that was the act of adultery. An adulterous generation. That was contrary to God's way, but Solomon was not. In that the husband was dead, they were legally married. They paid a horrible price for their wrong, but Solomon was accepted because it was David's son. In this, we see a great, great thing take place in the mind of God and in heaven. In that the mind of God is heaven, and each mind is a world, depending on which one that you can get into or your eyes are open to, as to the inhabitants of that world, whoever you are, in that the body profiteth nothing, the flesh, but the spirit, which is the mind or the life. And the body conforms to the mind, the thoughts, or the life, either to a celestial or a terrestrial, or to a life of misdemeanor, whatever it might be. So, with the crossing of the first wing being put on, it went to the west. A big, wide fastening to the steel badge in the middle, which had to do with the crown, the crossing. And that Jesus was crowned with the thorns and down to the narrow edge of metal to set in the cradle, in the corner of the cornerstone. He that the builders has rejected the same has become the head of that great corner. Coming down right to the cradle as it went down to the cradle, David Paul came up, and I was talking to the brethren about the Western travail. I said, this moves westward. It has to do with the travail, the sunset, the going down of the sun, the bloodshed sunset of a travail and a birth. And it was a travail. It was dangerous. It was rough. It looked like we'd never get it up. Finally, we got it up. Islet's broken, whatever, but we got it up. Finally put it in its precision place. David Paul came in just as we were setting it into the cradle. And I had been talking to the brethren, and I said, we're going to a cradle. I'm going to send you a babe. So he went up. He got up on a ladder to pyramid the thing on a little step ladder. He stood up there with it on his shoulders. Whereas the Bible speaks of the government being upon the shoulders. And as quick as the babe was born, he was caught up to the throne, which has been the case with David Paul. He came right in here. He bypassed the brethren and went right on up to the throne. Of course, you say, well, that's because he was your natural son. Naturally, you did it. No, that isn't it at all, because me and David Paul, in his earlier life as a natural person, I didn't let him come in at all because we didn't get along at all. But when he come into the spiritual mind of Christ, then he became my spiritual son as well as my natural son. David's always tried to reverence me naturally. And then with that, the child was born because birth is in the body. And when it went to the body, David went right into Revelation. He went right up to the throne, and in the natural, he went right up to ruling place. God accepted him. So it was the doings of Christ. But anyway, I said, I'll send you a babe. Like the babe I saw come up to the bat, the cross, he hit the ball from here, and it went all the way around the world and returned and come back to the same place. I saw the ball go all the way around the world. Whereas David come up and said, Dad, said, God's given you a ministry. And he told me in essence, said, we're going to hit that ball. And it's going to go around the world. And he's made an effort and has astounded some people in his effort. So, at any rate, this is what it had to do with, the crossing, death, Moses. Even Brother Taylor being involved in it. Not discrediting, for Moses was faithful in all of his house, but the smiting of the rock, as you say, the taking of the glory. As I stood there at the crossing, there at the house, I said, now has come power. And immediately, as it went into the cradle, David went up. Mr. Powers walked up immediately. I walked over to where he was. He said, Mr. Powers, hand me his card. It said, Mr. Powers. He said, I'm from Georgia, outdoor. Georgia, outdoor. And said, I don't understand why you haven't. Told me in essence, I don't understand why that you haven't contacted us about the posters. We always do your posters. Said, we've got two poster signs that's available on Highway 78. I said, hold them for us. Or he said, I got one. I said, hold it. And then he told that he had another one. David said, hold them. I went over and told David. David said, hold them. Okay, with that, now was come power. The babe had gone up to the throne. Lucifer had been cast out. I told him what it had to do with. The name Rick or Richie, Richard, has to do with King of all. And a brother had brought a great chain over. We took the chain the brother had brought over. And I said, take that great chain and lock that up yonder. We're going to bind Satan for 1,000 years. For the Bible says the angel came down having a great chain in his hand. Brother Dwight having to do with the angelic side of it, the sounding of the trumpet, the last trumpet. had climbed up to the top of that cross and had his head sticking over it when they were filming. And he went over, brought the chain, handed it to me. And Ricky, Richard, having to do with Rachel, the wife of Jacob, and Ricky, the husband of Rachel, king of all, he began to work with us and work with the chain and taking the different things up the ladder. And with that, David Paul leased the little stand from the twins that had to do with the prophets and the coming into the new harvest, restocked it in that Ricky had went to Portland and him and Rick again together to show the brothers, that is George Jr., they're going to work the little stand together with the new stock to show the new harvest and getting over the Jordan. They'll have something out there for you when you get to the valley. The valley has to do with the landing of the ark, and as I say, I'm trying to compact this thing, but I'd have to write a great book just to get a little of it in. But going to the valley is where the flood hit at the time that this started, and it ends the cycle of the great problems of life. And going back has to do with Brother Grady, has to do with me. Grady has to do with Benjamin and the double potion. Has to do with Rachel. That's why David, Rick's working together, because David Paul also relates to Brother Grady. And in that, it goes back to the valley. It's over the flood, back to Ben-Gahili or Benjamin. Grady came out yesterday from the hospital, come up to where we was at, right when that last cradle was coming in. David walked up, took it on his shoulder like he did the other one. Benny Carroll came in, that has to do with Benjamin, and there Grady come in. The double potion, which means spirit, which means body or redemption. Redemption. And that olive branch and those people are our people, but they've been rebellious and tried to go another way, and the light's too bright for them, and they're trying to get to the light through the body. They keep on working with Grady to try to do that. As it was in the days of Moses, working through the body, which is a veil, unto the illumination of the Jews, which has to do with redemption of the body, and that the sugar almost killed Brother Grady. Sugar corrupts. And it almost killed him. This is the thing us talking to Grady about. Sweet talk and flattery will kill the church. They've about corrupted the church with sweet talk and flattery. Trying to get around the light, and trying to get around the rules, and trying to get around the cross. But anyway, Grady representing at this time the body condition of the church. We advised Sister Dorothy Pike to go into the take Grady to the hospital. And she did. And I spent all night one night praying that God would save Grady's life, because I knew he was dying. And Grady knew he was dying. And it had to do with my brother Charles, the kidney infection unto death. Years before when it begun, and the kidney infection defeated, that is death conquered unto life in us. Praying for Charles at that time from Arizona. We saw the vision in Arizona. Remember Brother Taylor, when the indented bucket was hurled across the sky? You remember the closing of the chains, and Brother Ernie and the chains that was put up on the gates out here, and Brother Ernie being right at the end to come in, whereas he favorably did that not too long ago. Lost his contour. But anyway, Brother Grady, going to the hospital. It was there in Arizona that Brother Taylor came to me with this woman that had got him off on a back to the Garden of Eden trip. Sister Linda, she couldn't find Eden at all. She was on her diets, about having a fit when she come to Sister Betty. You remember how I received the letter from Brother Taylor and then we met him in Cincinnati. Mountain Assembly Church of God, the things that happened there. The big table that was spread before us in the vision. Brother Taylor's conversion, Sister Linda. In Arizona, we got a letter, and to our utter amazement, when we read the letter from Brother Taylor, we found out it was around the corner from us. That had to do with Brother Branham, the station that we're on right now in Phoenix City, Arizona, has to do with it. There in Tucson's where it was, Tucson, Arizona, having to do with Brother Allen out on Highway 666 and Brother Branham, the twins. He was over in the other part of Tucson, old Tucson. But anyway, I had the vision of Charles there. We came to Memphis. The death, the Methodist hospital, the praying that night of the death. Then calling the son out of Egypt, as we predicted that Charles would be moved to the area where Dad's at. When they took him out of the grave, when the health people said they couldn't do it, they wouldn't gonna let it happen. But nevertheless, I said, it'll happen, it happened. The Lord made it happen. So, way over here at the end, that having to do with Brother Branham, the death, the rejection. For Brother Branham said he will live, but he died. And then the handkerchief, the lost handkerchief. Him being in the wilderness of Kentucky, Billy Paul coming out. Bennett Winchester, the German, the knowledge, the quotes. It's called Germantown. Brother Branham saying, had I known when I come from Louisiana, the purchased possession, Brother Jack's place. Life tabernacle, life leaving it, Brother Branham. Coming out of the wilderness, Moses, as I was with Moses, the Lord said to Brother Branham, forerunning is John the Baptist, the law and the prophets, until John, since that time comes the revelation of the kingdom. So then, Charles got the handkerchief, it was lost. Brother Branham said he would live, he died. I said, Brother Branham, I still believe you can resurrect him from the dead. Brother Branham said, had I known I'd come by your place on this trip, the next time I'll come, I'll be by your place. So I'll come to your place, Brother Pye. Having to do with Tennessee and Cleveland, of which Brother Cobbs is familiar with, and Brother Sonny Garrett. The third balcony, the basement, the flesh, different things that's on tape. The little magazine in Macon and many, many multiplied things. Have to write volume after volume. David Paul getting the little book that we left in stride, just got it not too long ago. The Bible speaks of Revelation 10 and speaks of the book being open, whereas it was sealed at Calvary. Seven seals of the church ages and after, which is the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 10, the book was open, and that to many nations, bringing in the last trump, the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God, which has to do with the flag of the change, and Mr. Reagan's receiving the flag, and us getting the answer at Eden, which has to do with, as I say, Phoenix City, Arizona, there where we, Brother Branham was staying at the time of the meeting of Tucson. Mr. Reagan's gave us the answer to our letter in Eden. There, the big five-pole tent, the rainbow, the colors, the beautiful things, the stones, that all of them had to move, the crossing of the Jordan. It was a muddy place. Stone after stone, killing the serpent or bruising his head, as Brother Kim said, throwing him over in the wilderness across the road, letting him go, as it was when Brother Denny brought that serpent in the other day among the children, took him to the wilderness, let him go. In the wilderness, the snake was hung on the pole, that is, to get over the Jordan, from Egypt to Canaan by way of the wilderness. But anyway, getting back to our thought here and coming right back down to the trunk of the tree, just run out on a limb for a few minutes. Checking the fruit, that's all. But anyway, Mr. Reagan's wrote that confirmed it, that the kingdoms of this world had through the rod, the ruling of the rod of the man-child, even the Moses picture, the man that played the part of Moses bringing the staff to Mr. Reagan, do you remember? And him, through Jimmy, the resurrection, Jimmy going over to bring the prisoners out, death conquered. Jimmy the crucified one, the travail, the woman. Also bringing forth, at the time of Jimmy's crucifixion, the middle wall of partition, the infiltration, which was, goes back to the plains of Dura, Daniel in Babylon, the coming of the Roman powers, the Roman church, the image, the tribulation period. Jimmy in Atlanta, the blackout a few days ago in Atlanta, Georgia. 66, we predicted the Pope would come to America. He came, there was a blackout in New York. They referred back to this in Atlanta. The eclipse, the seven-dimensional steps of the church. The blackout, the day star. Going out, the days of grace being over. David Paul called WSB about that time. I told my wife, I said, he can't get them right now, but just as that eclipse goes completely, the stage of darkness, he'll get through. And she was watching it on a little TV that David or Rick had left about that big, and step by step. And finally, it went into this total eclipse of darkness. And immediately David got through, and he said to the people, he said, this is the change concerning the church, and now the church will come into power. Now has come power. The man child speaking, caught up to the throne, says, you may never tell nobody else. You may never share this, but you'll know, and maybe you'll share it. But this is from here on. The power will be in God's hand, and the control of government in God's hand, and power to the church. From now on, the church will come into power. The end of the days of the Gentiles, he said. So it worked perfectly. That's the chief voice of the South. The Bible speaks of the King of the South. A lot of things we could say concerning the King of the North and the North Star, which is called the Polaris, the one that never moves while the other stars move, concerning the shoes that Brother Bullard brought down. But anyway, a lot of detail that we can't go into. Over in Jeff, to get back to our original thought, the platform was set up under the big white tent the first time, the capstone, the big tent. That platform from Jeffersonville, Indiana, was put down here for the foundation of this building, which meant Brother Branham's ministry. When we raised that one wing of the beam that had to do with the travail, Brother Taylor was down there at the base winding it. He was winding it. You remember the scream and the holler? Sound like a trumpet, because that thing needed oiling, which had to do with Moses, Brother Branham, the sounding of the trumpet. Brother Taylor always pointing to this. He was on that foundation from Jeff when that began to holler and scream just like a trumpet. And when it finished, then about that time, ending the church ages as to the eclipse, and that we put up the archway on the day of the eclipse, Joshua had hopeless. Little Joshua, he came into the picture. Brother Smith came over with a can of oil. I thought, we need some oil on that thing. So he just automatically went and got a can of oil and put it on there, and everything just smoothed out. And the sound of the trumpet died away. First trumpet together, Israel. The revival, the second trumpet, the revelation of the Lord Jesus to take them into battle or over the Jordan into the heavenly. After they crossed the Jordan, they had one great battle. Under the leadership of Joshua, he made the sun to stand still over Gibeon, the moon to stand still in the valley of Ajalon. The walls, the denominational powers, the ecclesiastical control of denominationalism, the world government fail. The stones were set for memorial, and just so many multiplied things that we'd never be able to detail. Take hours and hours. Having to do with the valley of the flood, the crossing, the judgment we spoke of, going back, the landing of the ark, the big white tent, relating back to the building, the boat, the tent. Officially crossing the Jordan, Joshua was winding, and Brother Taylor, he was at one time, Brother Mitch at another time, Brother Taylor, about three, four of them, Danny at one time, Daniel. And when that first wing went up, it indicated the end of the travail. The torch, the locking in, was locked in with a power in that we reached and got an 80-ton jack when I said, now it's come power. And they put it up there and lifted it up, and the theology had been breaking. The tent, cables holding the wings, the eyelets popped. When you say eyelets, they speak of the eyelets or the decoration of the eyes or the vision, which measured out in 22, if we had time to relate it. But the eyelets broke, which meant the tent or the church in the wilderness had ended. It was not sufficient anymore. Though they welded and welded, but the pillar of fire, it wouldn't work. They kept patching, but it wouldn't work. The vision was gone. The eyelets were no more. So then we came, when we said, now it's come power, we got the 80-ton jack that George Jr. had given us. Kim stuck that under there, and that done the job. Had lifted her up, which indicated no longer the tabernacle in the wilderness of the tent, whereas Brother David Paul and I talked about the tent up yonder being at an end. That is the threefold. But it indicated the Father's house, for in the days of David, he could not build the house. He had too much blood on his hand from war, whereas Brother Branham was a continual warrior around the world, being attacked and attacked. And then came the Father's house. In the days of Solomon, he built a house for the Ark of the Covenant, whereas you know that Moses was that Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't that natural beaten work down under that tent in the wilderness. It was God in Moses that made Moses God, which pointed to the prophet likened to Jesus and the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. So then, the beaten work having to do with Christ being bruised, as you know, for our transgressions he was bruised. The covering cherubs, the two wings that went up to the ark of the rainbow, the covering cherubs, the law and the prophets, the two prophets, the olive trees fastened in. Over on this side, when we went to put up the wing, as the Bible said, two great wings took the woman into the wilderness, into her place, for a time's time and a half a time, till the flood could pass over. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard against him, and it was a flood of whatever that caught him away in the attack on the woman. The days of grace being over, the body of the woman, the body, the Gentiles, the body, Jews, Japanese, whatever, in that the spiritual Jew is the only true Jew, all of the human body, human person goes into an intellectual wilderness, gross darkness, the Antichrist being in power and rule. But the woman, the Jew, that is the selected, has a place over the Jordan. Even when they're driven out of Jerusalem, across the Jordan to the cities of refuge to hide for times, time and a half a time back there where Moses had the Ark of the Covenant to show the cave where Elijah went. It had to do with the days of Obadiah. We'll get back to the root of our thought in just a few minutes. Just taking a look at the tree and the branches and the fruit, which is so much, take a long time to harvest. But anyway, Brother Taylor was on the foundation of the Jeff meeting. That is, the platform from that meeting, it went down here for this building. And then, all of a sudden, it was decided that the platform from the Eden meeting, which was the finishing of the tent meeting, the fivefold ministry, the big tent, the fall of the poles, the change, the president writing, the change of the government, our flag going up to the White House, the end of the old and the new coming in, and Mr. Reagan pleading. Abortion accepted by Jimmy to show the death of the child and that Jimmy was the bruised one. Mr. Reagan's rejecting it, showing the life of the child to be spared, to be caught up to the throne among the stars, and that he's a movie star. All the way an Alpha and Omega from the beginning of the old Western movies he made over to the control of the new, spanning the 70 years, coming out of Babylon, in that they were there 70 years. All the way from the old to the new, the Alpha and Omega. So it was determined that the platform at Eden, from the first pole over in Jeff, the first time the white tent was set, having to do with Brother Branham's vision, and the little thing they made of the picture where the mantle was cast over the tent, one on each end holding it, the things that were said concerning Brother Branham's relatives, the cheers coming out of the tabernacle of Brother Branham, going under the tent, and the gathering of cheers from different places, showing the body coming in, relating back to Brother Jim and the mask and the belt that I've got on that says Jesus, and the mask, and relating back to the eclipse, looking through the glass darkly, even that mask that Daryl uses to behold the darkness that was covering the day star, which is sweeping over the heart of the people, putting their life or light out. And the Bible speaks of that as being death, the middle wall of partition between earth, the body, and the sun, which is the spirit. Death. In the seven church ages, it's in the dimensional unfolding, and that when the black goes over the sun, it is a little light going out, a little more light going out, and a little more light going out to a seven-dimensional breakdown. But as quick as it fully covers the sun, then it comes back, a little light coming in, a little light coming in, a little light coming in as it moves off, which brings it back to an eight, to a sevenfold restoration of a sevenfold light. In the end time, a full light, that is to say, the unveiled, rend the veil, take it away, and bring forth the revelation of the day star dawning within your heart, even Christ Jesus. But anyway, to put the platform from Eden on the top, to crown it with the garden. This again relates back, that is the platform from the five-pole tent, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the tent had to do with eight poles, which means the resurrection, 5 and 3. That's what we got, a five-pole tent and a three-pole tent. And when I ordered eight, the Lord said, I had you to order it, but something has got it stopped because I want you to have five. So then we took five. He said the other three makes your eight. So then it was to be two together, both white, one out of Valdosta, having to do with the coach way across. One of the five, so the seven-dimensional church ages, and then the compact thing of all in one. When Brother David Paul, the Lord moved on him, and he went and got the platform that had been under the little tent that went to Brother Meadows, but had to do with the Trinity, that went to death, and that it has to do with the funeral home. He redeemed it and brought it back. And the brethren, mostly the youth, redone the platform. They redone it. The same framework, redone it, done it excellently, in an excellent way, that is. And then took the platform. And they're going to take some from the platform of the big white tent to make up for the shortage, in that that little platform was made from a trailer. And I can't detail all these things. I keep saying that over and over. There's so much to it. But anyway, it was down at Brother Walden's when we had the meeting there in the hotel, and just so many multiplied things. It had to do with Brother Branham. It was made, Brother Atlee. Brought back, redone it. It was going to take some of that which Dwight had made of the bigger platform, to make up for the dwarfed condition of the little platform, which means the broadening of the ministry of Brother Branham. the completeness, in that the big platform is complete under the fivefold. So with this, you've got a combination or a combined thing of the three poles and the five poles and the platform. When Brother Delma got his tent, if you remember, it was a new one from Waycross. He took the tent, the chains, he took everything, took the truck, but he didn't take the platform. Whereas when you speak of a president or whatever running on a certain platform, Brother Baldwin went on a different platform, and something eventually happened to the tent. The key to the whole thing is on the inside, we've got to have his platform, Christ's platform. And this little tent, as the Bible speaks of this tent or body or tabernacle, all the same. It profiteth nothing. It's just a covering as it was over the covering cherubs in the Ark of the Testament, which John saw at the rent veil, and that the veil was rent between the Ark of the Covenant and the holy place, exposing the holies of holies. John saw it as a revelation call, the revelation of Jesus Christ, because what the Old Testament was, it was a camouflage covering, even the veil over Moses' face. And the ark hid behind that veil, even God in the body of Jesus Christ, the image of sin that we could not look steadfast unto the end of that covenant. Whereas when Jesus rendered at Calvary, brought forth the second, even the resurrected, the stones over Jordan, the Joshua part, the Jesus and the Christ, one unto death as Moses, one unto life as Canaan. Bringing it forth, John saw it unveiled and wrote it as a revelation. God said, Daniel, seal it. Down in Babylon, the confusion of this world and the intellectual quotes, as we say, are the government of this world. But to John, on the other side, Revelation 10, an open book, a rent veil, unsealed to many nations, nationalities, tongues, people, whatever. Into the kingdoms of this world had become the kingdoms of our God. Again, we say having to do with the flag. So then, the valley having to do with this, the platform, all coming into one. And now back from five poles, back from three poles, back to one pole, even as it was in Macon when they tried to set two poles. It didn't work. One of the poles fell and they wound up with a one pole tent, because it had to do with one pole. Though it was three when they stood on the mountain, Jesus said, hear ye him, one pole. It's not two poles, one pole. You say, well, what about the prophets? They point to the one pole. But anyway, it goes back to the one pole, even as it was in Jeff, and the combination, the body redemption. Many multiplied things, it would say, but going back to the crossing, finally they put up the other wing. When they went to put up the other wing, I told him, I said, you won't have problems with this like you did the first. The travail is to the woman. This has to do with the masculine side. The confusion is to the woman, because the body is that which is infiltrated with reasoning, in that she tries to be a leader when leadership is not given to her, it's given to the head. So the leadership, when she goes to go into leadership, it means Satan has got control of her. But submission to leadership means the church or the body of Christ being one. So when the flesh tries to take leadership of its own government, is a confusion and a Babylon. But, and it's a whorish thing, but when Christ takes over in the heart, it is a masculine thing, true leadership of the church, even the bride of Christ in a oneness with him, even God in his body. And Paul said the mystery concerning the church, the man and the woman being one, for out of the man she is a byproduct, in the man she is originality. She's definitely not a byproduct when she goes back into the man, according to the things that we spoke of. So that's what the valley has to do with, completing of a cycle. Brother Grady, the reuniting. Brother Ben Gahili, don't mean this wrong toward anybody. I'm just speaking of things. In the Arizona desert, it's dry, hot, dusty. And there they have the Gila monster. Or that is to say, to eradicate infiltration in the middle of all the petition, even the carnal reasoning, Satan, his power, getting it out. Then the two parts can work together properly. and everything will be right, and the woman will submit to the leadership of the head and the Christ as it was in the originality. Then the glorification. And as I said concerning Brother Grady going to the hospital through a crucifying experience, sugar corrupting, taking it the way he did, and they tried to put insulin into his veins. Sometimes I advise people to go to the hospital because it has to do with spiritual significance. I advised Brother John Jameson one time to take Saudia to the hospital because she would have died if he hadn't. John almost lost her that night, but we prayed, stayed with him, and she's living in a big girl today. But they tried to put beast insulin into Grady's body, and it rejected it. Finally, they resorted to human insulin, which means, spiritually speaking, the image restored. Nothing could stop the corruption. The beast insulin could not stop the corruption. Grady was dying, Charles, going back to that. Conquering death, overcoming death. And finally, when the human insulin went in, it meant that it had been restored to the original Adam. The body had been redeemed. Back to the original Adam, human insulin, the image in which man was made as a human, as a son, not as a beast. Having to do with much in the sense that we preach the covering, yet you cover with a covering not of men, going back to the covering cherubs, and much that we would have to say. Much. Much. Satan, the covering cherub, the Bible said concerning him, it spoke of the days when he was adorned with diamonds and pearls and jewels, those wonderful things. As the garden, the Bible said a covering cherub, the great prince of the world, in the world, for his covering of diamonds and rubies as he walked in the garden, in the midst of the stones of fire, means his ruling power in the days of grace, which is heaven, which is the garden, which is riches and power and diamonds and pearls and splendor and magnificence, and a great power, covering himself with riches and splendor, magnificence, and being praised and adorned by the world in its attire as the covering cherub over the people, the ruling power of authority and government control. With his splendor, his stardom in the world, among the stones of fire, and that Jesus said, "You are my jewels. I remember you when I make up my stones." So then, his kingdom falling and him losing all of his worldly attire, and that his covering is one half, as unto Adam all die, into the natural, savoring the things that be of the flesh, the tree cut down at Calvary, intellectual powers and abilities falling, the cities, the buildings of the world crumbling, and the old tree of knowledge falling down, and the government gone, to bring forth the resurrection even of the Christ, to fold up the first and lay it away, and that it is old, but it was said to the Son, "Thy scepter is a scepter of righteousness, even forever and ever shall it be, and there shall be no end to the increase of thy kingdom. For thine is one that is forever and ever, and all the others you'll fold them up like an old garment and lay them away." As he did that at Calvary, principalities and powers making a show of it, triumphing over all those great dignitaries. Lucifer falling from heaven, in that grace continues till the end. It's not recognized till Revelation 12. Though it was instigated in the mind of God before the world ever was, made an expose at Calvary through the revelation, comprehended as the revelation in the end time, thus it becomes effective to them that can see and them that can know, bringing the end of the days of Gentiles. The blood off the seat of atonement, we spoke of it the other day. Blood life can be no longer in the presence of God. Jesus' blood having to do with life. But the people
their blood having to do with the generation of vipers, even the carnal mind of Lucifer, the intellectual tree of knowledge. The little thing that Brother John Jameson and Brother Taylor had to do with the other day, they had a little cross up on some things concerning the school. It had to do with the crossing of the Jordan, had to do with the red dragon being cast out, had to do with the blood application, had to do with the seasoning of the law by grace through the blood, had to do with the restriction and the law not being broken, holding fast, and yet through grace, not one broken, but everything fulfilled by the blood and by grace through the righteousness of the law that the children may get over the Jordan, even the mud, and that they did not have their facilities for restroom. Paul, speaking of knowledge, is dung. We explained this the other day to somebody. The children not being able to go to school and having the improper teachings and indoctrinations in that, that not having the lost season, the children's restrictions, their indoctrinations had to be a combination of some things and a battle royal. Lucifer cast out and many other multiplied things that we'd have to say to explain to you why the world's in the condition it is, having to do with the children and then coming back after we go to the valley of finishing the 2 weeks or whatever, and that of the children of the school to bring them into the real Canaan of God. So I said all that to say this. The wood in the well, the stone it went down having to do with Jesus and Joseph. The piece of wood, the 2x6, it went down, it was split, having to do with Jonathan and with the church. And the spear that went down having to do with the wound in the side that brought forth the water and the blood, and that the mud has to do with the blood, and the water has to do with that which come forth from the pure side. In the new pump, now it's come power even to that that goes to the moon, the redeeming, the crossing. We spoke of the stones, Houston, many things that we'd have to go into. Kick the old serpent out, as we said. The water became clear. And then with that, I told David to take the light. Him and Rick took the light, the bright light, like Jill spoke of the bright light. Took it from the little stand, going back to David of the old, the king of the Jews, and going back to Rick, king of all. They took the light, and they set it up there for the feminine. They took it up, a bright light, to show that with the clear water comes that great, beautiful light, not two, not three, but one. And David on one side, Rick on the other, as he would say, the light in the middle, two into one. For I sincerely believe that David and Rick are joined together in real sincerity as to the furtherance of the revelation of the Lord Jesus and a oneness to see this thing the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, with all these things taking place, the other wing went up. And when the wing went up, I said it will go right on up, won't have no problem with this one. So it went up so beautifully that some of them were astounded. No problem, she just went right on up. I said, as one pointed to travail, trouble, and problems to the west, and the end of that which is Brother Branham and the cradle of the babe. I said, this other one points to the east, the rising to the throne, the crowning, and now it's come power and to the crowning of the babe caught up to the throne. All of a sudden, it dropped into the cradle. And as it dropped into the cradle, seeing that everything was perfectly in order, David had been standing on the ladder with it on his shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He let it down into the cradle, the others working with him, the other brethren forming the membership, working with him. And as this happened, Jerry Lambert walked up. And Brother Jerry said, you know, there's something I've been wanting to give you. He'd been off somewhere and he just come up. I said, well, what is it? And he handed me a crayon about so thick, about so wide, 2 or 3 inches, whatever, what long it is, maybe half inch thick, something, five-pointed crown, little round things on the end of the crown. And there it was, having to do with the Lambert. But the jury came up just as it went into the cradle. I had made the statement, this is toward the east, the rest, the millennium. Brother Jerry, I called him Jerry, Brother Gerald, I still say Jerry, that had been with me from the beginning, from the valley, making the cycle, had just sat down on the top of a stepladder, showing the crowning, showing the finishing up, the travail and problems of the body that Darson, Gerald's had to do with it, especially Thomasville, has to go to Eden to show that Calvary that they went through. It's a beautiful thing. Brother Tilden, Cornelius, his wife having to do with the Gentiles, having to do with it. Cornelius went to the Gentiles. Gerald said that he had finished his course. He was going back to his homeland. And how Jerry goes on, he's cutting up with the brethren, as they call it. So he's going back to his homeland. Of course, he was speaking about good old Alabama. But anyway, about that time, Jerry handed me this crown. And when he handed me this crown, it signified, as I said, the crowning caught up to the throne. And now has come power. The accuser of the brethren being cast out because the danger was over. The things was locked together. The chain taken out from around it. It had rolled around and curled around and caused a lot of problems. The accuser of the brethren, that is to say, giving Judas the sop. God cutting off the Gentiles and everything purged out of the church. It's causing problems. And all of a sudden, that went to its place. The cradle was locked in. And I looked on the crown, and in big letters across the bottom, it says power. And have this power. The crown, the east, the kingship, pointing to the east, the man, the masculine, and then power. Now it's come power into the church. So this morning, in these things that we're talking about, and many multiplied things, this has to do with the millennium, because that was on Saturday, the Sabbath day, to the Jews, their Sabbath. Whereas it's carried over for the Revelation today, because this is the Gentile Sabbath. The natural is shown on the natural Sabbath, the spiritual is shown on the spiritual Sabbath. Tomorrow is our morrow after the Sabbath, which has to do with the well and the new water coming forth, the clean water. Not by the pillar of fire, which is signified by the blood infiltration, that is human blood. Jesus spilt that, the red dragon. But to be shown by spirit, and that the first man, Adam, was a living soul by blood life, and that from the mud, and that Adam has to do with red clay. But I'm talking about from Christ, the spirit, the spiritual, which is not a derivative of the serpent nor the fall of mankind, but apart from all the blood life of mankind and the virgin birth. As in the beginning, woman from man, as in the end, man from woman. As in Christ, neither male nor female, all of God, both to oneness in Him. But I said all that to say this, that we're coming to the end of the church ages. The woman and the man goes back together, which means Jesus and the Christ, Moses and the Joshua, Elijah and the Elisha. Because all of these that I speak of were one. They were one. Not two. They were one. They were one. The man and the woman is but one flesh. That's all. The mind makes the difference as to the mind of Satan or the mind of Christ. All back to one. So, in that Jesus said, or the voice from heaven said, not to, along the twain, the midst of the church, Elijah, Moses, Jesus, not three tabernacles, one tabernacle. We spoke of Brother Wald and Brother Terrell, representing the two ends, and how the revelation has to do with Christ. So then, when the last one went up, I said, Kim, go to the well. You'll get water. So the cross experience was over. It bloated clear out. It took the middle wall of partition out, the old black pipe. took the mud out, and Monday, which is the morrow after the Sabbath for us, things will be ready for the new well. Today is the morrow after the Sabbath of the Jews, which is the beginning of their new week, which has to do with redemption of the body. And that's why I'm talking to you this morning like I am, instead of preaching to you. This has to do with the ones on the other side. Brother Bill talking this morning in the office about his intellectual ability, which I believe that he had when he was in school. And about a vision I had about a man last night that's supposed to be super, top of the ladder. And I said, Bill, in the vision it had to do with Lucifer, carnal intelligence, wiseness of heart. The Bible said he was wiser than Daniel in his intellectual ability because he's been here for many years, more than Daniel. I said, it's Lucifer. I said, but that revelational thing, it's what it all has to do with the mind of Christ. And Bill had switched over from the intellectual talk of what he was in the past, killing himself out, and the tears began to stream down his cheeks, stream down, because his heart opened to the revelation of the Lord Jesus, which means redemption of the body, Brother Branham, Bill. Then on the other side, Brother Taylor, Brother Terrell. That is to say, the line of that ditch digging coming all the way across the road, this little road relating to Highway 78, all we need is like that spear that Kim made, or a rooter rotor, an auger, to go up under the highway, and then the water from that well will be tied to the water of this well. And the double potion of the Benjamin coming to this potion will be a 3-in-1, and it will be a great and a mighty force that nothing can withstand, and everybody with plenty of water. That also goes to the Father's house in a double potion, one stream on one side, one on another, and connected by this one, which indicates the millennium. Plenty of water, plenty of greenage, plenty of rain, but not watered from without, as we say, but before the flood, but watered from within, which is after the flood, the fountain opened in the house of David, which has to do with David, Paul, and you as the membership of the body of the Lord. That is to say, the day star dawning in your heart of the revelation of Christ, out of your innermost being, the rivers of living water or wells of salvation. That is to say, the fountain opened in the house of David, which is this revelation. You say, what does that mean to us? The days of the Gentiles being over, the revival being over. The evangelists can run, they can do what they want to with any kind of meetings, but there'll be no more water on the outside. It's over. They'll turn everything in the religious world into gimmicks, holy oil, into television shows, and it'll just be as rain on a duck's back. But they that have the Spirit of Christ on the inside, that has this opening of this water coming forth from within, they will be sustained throughout eternity, even through the drought of the tribulation and whatever. While the spirits will wander through the dry places as grace lifts and the rain is taken away. As I saw the vision where everything turned into powder and something said it's too late to write a book. The great drought. And then, of course, the water from the inside, the streams of Christ, the fountain opened the house of David, bringing in the millennium, the restoration, even the spiritual man Adam, the second man Adam, a quickening spirit. So with first man Adam, it was the presence of the Shekinah of God upon him, down to Calvary. It is the Holy Ghost within you, the hope of glory, the fountain on the inside. Jesus said, the water that if the woman had known about, that is, if the flesh knew about the inner well, that it wouldn't seek outer inspiration from ball games and frolics and passions and gullible desires, worldly security. The flesh would turn to the innermost well of living water from whence comes Christ, even the invisible one. And the fields of that physical form would be watered to the extent that the briars would be cut away and the intellectual conflicts and the physical conflicts and the natural environment of circumstantial problems would all be eradicated by the fire of God, and the ground would be watered as in the days of Elijah when he killed the prophets of Jezebel and triumphed over them, and God answered by fire to bring the rain after the drought of the tribulation time. And that by the little cloud that was like unto a man's hand, even the fivefold ministry, not of ministers across the world and of people posing as ministers, but the true men of God that God sent for the uniting of one hand, even the right hand of power, and that now has come power, even as the little crown, that is the true unification of Christ. And we spoke of the unification in sun, yon, moon, and why that they brought about the prison thing concerning the moon in the valley of Ajalon, what it had to do with, and the sun over Gibeon, and the walls falling, which has to do with the minister's breakfast, and those people that David run into in the valley, of why that it happened like it did, and Brother Clyde and him bringing back the dewberries, him and Brother Bullard. Okay, we could go on and on. But it has to do with world unification and the sense of, I said the church would start coming together this year. Even the advertisement shows that, and even Reagan, Fowell, the moral majority in Washington, all these things unifying, Reagan standing for the church, ruling with such strength, shows that everything is set, natural as in heaven, so in the earth as in earth, or the natural, so in the spirit. Let me say this in closing. When the wicked rule, the Bible said the people are in problems. But when the righteous rule, then the sunshine of the favor of God comes and all is well. And the powers of evil ended with Jimmy. Jimmy didn't know it because Jimmy's a fine man, regardless of how you look at it. He made some errors. God would not let him bring forth what he wanted to bring forth, in that if the people that are called by my name will repent of their sins and call on God, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. They talked him out of saying this because he was under sin and the image unto death, to bring forth the Reagan unto life, the power of the Christ, ruling with a rod of iron. Mr. Reagan's accepted it. He made contact with a little Bethlehem, bringing in your system of the nation I spoke of the other day, your money, everything, your flag, the little nation and their king, in that he accepted Christ, and the shot that ricocheted that hit him brought that to pass, in that Jimmy was dead, Reagan lived through it, the resurrection, bringing the Christ, and Jimmy coming back together with him to loose the prisoners. And it's been a combination thing, bringing it down to Atlanta, Georgia, where we said the government would shift to bring destruction upon it, even the darkness of the eclipse, to bring it to little Bethlehem as the head of the nations, which has to do with the valley now. So that means the head of the nations, religion, is taken over, as David told him over the telephone. And now then, the mind of Satan that has been in the people, ruling in the White House, that is to say the body of Christ, the White House, the sovereignty from all denominations, all nations, that is to say this little thing here would not connect with any denomination. It is the sovereignty of the White House. That's why they're all painted white like they are. Which has to do with the sovereignty of the revelation of the Lord Jesus and all of the members coming to it. The nations as unto Washington, even George Washington, having to do with the Mount Vernon, the end of the church ages, Elijah's Creek, the thing we spoke of, and the reciting of the governors here, place of the governors, government upon his shoulder, the baby farm, Bethlehem, and then little Bethlehem, and many things that you have on tape. But to say the least, now righteousness through a mind has moved in. Mr. Reagan's having to do with it. Moved into the government, which means religion is at the head, which means our flag is the church flag that Mr. Reagan accepted. The kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God at the sound of the last trumpet, going back to Brother Branham, the end of the church ages. The mistress finished the unveiled revelation, the sound of the trump, for the coming of the Lord, even the voice of the Lord Jesus, the dead in Christ rising first. Many things that we could comment on that. discern, have to the brethren on some of these things. Many things that you'll never hear is in the heart of different brethren. Some in the heart of this brother, some in the heart of that brother, some in the heart of the different brethren, making it a membership thing. But in that it has happened the way that it has, it indicates that righteousness has gone into the government, and the government has changed to religion. So it means that the church is now in power, and it will rise to a greater height. Even though Antichrist will oppose it, it won't work. And it will rise over the tribulation of the flood of Noah to put Jesus down on the new earth in the new government of the millennium and the restoration, of moving the briars, to move the infiltration out of the government, is to move the briars and to bring the mind of Christ in. It means the earth will break out into singing, and it will come forth as a garden, even the restoration of the millennium before the translation of the celestial. So then the government of the Jews coming in, we being at the head of it, and then changed to the government of the Ancient of Days, we as the celestial being at the head of it. With this coming in, the end of the days of the Gentiles, the briars being gone, their rulership, for they are the briars. They're the conflict, they're the pressure on the church. God turned down Babylon. All of this having to do with that, even the little stone hewed out of the mountain. Brother Taylor had that stone mountain cap on down there when that trumpet was sounding, as we say, back to Lee and back to the head. And even when the one it had to do with the family there came down, he had the Lee pants on. Going back to the headstone, the south shall rise again, somebody said. Going back to Stone Mountain, which has to do with that thing we spoke of, the connection under the earth, where, as we said, they'd find that concerning the cornerstone. And they did. In this, there's a new era coming in now, a new world coming in now, a new government coming in, a change coming in. Everything's going to be different. And the saints of God are going to begin to rise and take the kingdoms of this world, and that they already have the kingdom of heaven on the inside. And they're going to make manifest as they triumph over their enemies, not to stop until they bring in the millennium. And the others will get blinder as the darkness comes in a greater way. So it is at that time and at that moment. With this, all will be left out except his. Many of you that are real carnal minded, they don't understand nothing I'm saying, don't get into this. You'll be left out. You'll be cut off because your mind is on the world and the things of the world. And you don't understand this. You don't have any interest in it because you don't understand it. But you that understand, the Bible said, the righteous shall understand, the wicked shall not understand. They can't have any interest because they don't understand. The Bible said that Lucifer, even the prince of this world, has blinded their eyes, that their interest be a natural thing. Blinded their eyes that they should not see. So, having eyes to see, they see not. You having the eyes of your understanding and light, and you comprehend the heights, depth, width, and the length. This is what the Lord has been trying to tell us. And there's just so much more, folks, until there's no telling. We just walk right on into eternity if we go on and go on and go on. But you that are made for the next world, get ready for the wonderful things of God. You that are inhabitants of the earth, warn to you. For the accuser of the brethren is cast out. Now has come power into that third heaven, that third realm. Paul being caught up into the third heaven is that headstone, that wise master builder, that revelation. And that with the Garden of Eden, as we say, the foundation, having to do with the platform of that which was at the Garden of Eden. Or at the Eden, whereas the man that named it after the Garden of Eden. So with this, coming from unbelief, Thomasville, when I see the nails, over to the Garden of Eden, strictly by faith, unplanned and unprogrammized, and God gave the beautiful write-up, all in color, and the different papers that carried it, had to do with the church ages and the ending. A lot of things happened there that some of you didn't see. Many of you didn't even get to that meeting. You notice how unusual that was? Numbers of you didn't even go. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot of things that we'd like to say, and there's still a few more things that maybe I'll say closing out, maybe not. I hear the Lord say a lot of things to me. He talks to me all the time. I heard Him say some things to me then. He talks to me all the time. Sometimes He talks to me about you, your condition, your spiritual life, your future, your past. Sometimes He talks to me about my own. Sometimes He talks to me about things, people abroad, powers, dignitaries, governments, whatever, around the world. But to say the least, you can see how that Brother Branham's followers died, and that with the headship coming in, even in another form, the same Moses. The only way they could recognize Him was that their hearts burned within Him, within them, as He walked with them on the way to Emmaus. Though He was in another form, yet their hearts burned within them as He expounded the Scriptures by the way. So then, them coming in just before the body sees corruption, which has to do with little Mary and Hollis. Some things that happened concerning Brother Terrell, and you'll see something so uniquely different after the meeting of having to do with the flood and the tent that you'll see down in the valley in Columbus, the New World, where revival has broken out. We said there's a revival there. It's broken out. Brother Terrell's there. So you see things so uniquely different. And with this points toward the building out here, the promenade building. But you people that are lively stones descending out of heaven, in that Paul was up into third heaven, Jesus coming back as the capstone of that beautiful city, the foundations, the apostolic teachings, you the lively stones, descending out of the Spirit, descending out of heaven, descending out of the revelation to set down upon a new earth, one with the infiltration. It's been taken away. Brother Branham's ministry, the foundation of the Father's house, with the apostolic teachings of quotes, fulfilling the law and the prophets, and that all of them, 12 was Jews. Then the spiritual that has to do with the 12 apostles, whereas he has had to do with the sons of Jacob and the brook Peniel and the covenant of the thigh. This with the apostolic leaders of these 12 trailers that was to be down here, and the water from the throne having to do with the church flowing down by means of my dad's house, flowing down to the 12 trailers, the apostolic foundations of that which governs and controls. But we have 12 chiefs here. Leaders, that is. Dad having been gone, it indicates that that's over, because it was Dad that I saw when that was displeased in the vision. At the time when I saw the great drought, many other things that we could say concerning the house of Jesse. But anyway, with the headship gone, Jeffersonville, then come the tent to Jeffersonville, and the law was folded up and laid away, and you know the battle royal we had there, how we won out. How that they'd not had anything there by the river, or in that city except by the river, when Brother Branham's tent went down, that this white tent might come up. Was the old canvas type tent down the river, and then the others come up as Brother Branham saw the tent and even the temple and the cathedral at a panoramic view. It was a panoramic view with a little booth in the top, just as this church is right here, where Brother JT saw the new thing that was to be revealed. Anyway, coming through JT, ending it, crossing over, representing Brother Branham, it came right here to the grounds, and then the tent went away of Brother JT. It was in our truck that it came, having to do with Brother Ernie and the twin trucks and many things it would say, and then the Ark of the Covenant came into here. And Brother JT went out, had to do with that cave meeting and Brother Armstrong's little Sharon, Brother Branham, and whatever. Santa Rosa, my Sharon, Corpus Christi, Dale. Anyway, that's when Brother Parnell had his trouble. His wife, Bertie, the separation, the change, and his wife was seen as Brother Branham following, and then Brother JT come over to this, left that following in his teachings and changed to this. The marriage of his daughter and my son. And there was reasons. I talked to him. There was reasons. Reasons that you don't understand, but there was reasons. Little son being spared to the change. If you notice, that had to do with the head. Been in there all these years. But we prayed and believed God as they made the change to the other side. Back to the head. Back to Michael. Back to the war in heaven. His name, Micah. The prophet that prophesied against the corruption. The type of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? In that the promenade building is coming, it indicates, as we said, the union of the body and the spirit. Where is the casting away of the Jews, the reconciling the world? What will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Which has to do with Brother Adams following. I want to sing a song. Let's sing it together. If you could sing with me. This has to do with what we're saying. The mantle was lost with Charles unto death, corruption. The mantle was found with Grady in the hospital unto life. The death of his baby in the valley by the bird that didn't live. The life of the bird, a representation of the bird that was in the Carolinas. Unto death, I told him here a while back it was a dangerous time for Grady. So, he lost so much weight, he's down about the size of Charles. It's a great thing, folks, far greater than you'll ever know. And so great that with all that I have said, I have barely touched upon it. Very barely. Very barely touched upon it. This expresses what I'm saying. Let's sing this together. There's a holy and a beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven. When Patmos in exile he trod, its high massive walls there of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. In that bright city, sing it with me now, that pearly white city, I have a man, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that white city that is soon coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor mean. No pain and no sickness can enter. No crape on the doorknob be seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. In that bright city, God's pearly white city, I'll have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, I'm waiting and longing for that white city that is soon coming down. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the eye. There's no disappointments in heaven. No envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In that bright city, the pearly white city, I'll have a mansion, the harp and the crown. Now I am watching, I'm waiting and longing for that white city that is soon coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They've overcome sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city
at last. Sing it with me now. In that bright city, God's pearly white city, I'll have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, I'm waiting, I'm longing for that white city that is soon coming down. The pearly white city. I know that you probably said, well, you didn't even tell us, you know, what is the number? But the Lord had a reason. Not that ye should sing of your own, but as I said, now sing with me. Well, this pearly white city is a unified endeavor of beautiful stones built up as the tabernacle of the house of God even. And as much as you're God's building, Paul said, as a wise master builder with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was sent unto the Gentiles, even the spirit of Paul, even Christ, not Paul living. A monument unto the great, wonderful capstone of Christ himself, in that it was not Paul, but Christ that lived. Stone upon stone, in that you are the stone in the building of God built upon the holy foundation of the apostolic foundation, that city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God, even the city that Abraham, the father of the faithful, looked for, that city where the Lamb is the light. So then, it's to sing with me. My sheep know my voice, they'll follow me. Wherever I am, there they'll be also. I want you to bow your heads with me. This last song, beloved friend, won't be as to the letter and the quotes and as to the word and the intellectual indoctrination, but it will be as to the Spirit and the Christ. Even John, the Lord said to him, the sound of the last trumpet, John, the mysteries will be finished, but don't write it. I don't want it in a book. Well, with this song, it'll be the song of the Lamb. As he will say, sing it with me. That is, they that be in the Spirit, and the Spirit be in them, and the well open in the house of David, even they shall drink from the innermost. And all of them that are without, through intellectual perception, even as Lucifer, through the natural senses of the body, has been kept alive by God's great life, through advantage of the life that by which they're surrounded. Even the world of vegetation and all of that, that is an inspiration from intellectual reasoning, even through the tree of knowledge. They've been kept alive by human inspiration and human ego and human enthusiasm of making money and brilliance. Gullible design, whatever, but if you'll notice as of late, to make money means more responsibility that the intellectual serpent through the IRS and all the rest might get. And the more you own, the bigger burden it is. And the more that you're pressured. If you own a house, you own land, God's let it get bad, it's going to get worse. Until you're going to be crushed. And instead of an inspiration unto life through your intellectual endeavors and the gullible desire of Satan, it's going to be a crushing experience in that you didn't give all that you have to Christ and to the apostles. It's going to be a burden. They'll throw their money to the bats. Won't be any inspiration in the life, but a burden unto death, a fear, frustration, and anxiety. The fearful sound in the ears of the rich man, in that he is afraid they're going to take his riches. It won't let him sleep night and day. But them that are called unto life, and them that are laid up their treasures in heaven, even giving all that they had unto God, in that Cornelius, his was a memorial unto God through his natural gifts. the ark, a memorial unto God through the natural labor. And on, them that labored in the natural, even as Abraham and others that gave it unto God, many of them, that they might receive their heavenly inspiration from within, the watering. So the other cut off from the wrath of God and the wandering through dry places as the demon spirits through the bodies wander through that place where the heavenly waters cut off. There won't be any more rain from heaven on the unjust, because rain comes on the unjust and the just and the unjust. Won't be no more rain, so the briar will die. But all the wheat will be watered from within, and the just watered from within, and they'll continue to live while all the other dies. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that speaks of a Savior and a resurrection, and a shepherd unto life. The drunkard, the harlot, the evil ones, the conniving ones, the intellectual brilliance, all the fame and popularity will fade away, for all flesh is as grass. As soon as the sun comes, it withereth. And all of its beauty and glory, Jesus said, of its intellectual attire, from Lucifer that walks amid the stones of fire in the places of grace, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, even among the church. The sons of God come, so comes he in the wearied bodies of the beast. Well, the greatest experience in the hospital ended it. Foolish and abased things to confound the wise, for the world knows nothing of the mind of God and what you know, because they're not creatures of that world. As the Jews were cut off, so came the Gentiles, because their world had ended with David. But now comes Christ and his people, and so ends the world of the Gentiles, even as with the Jews, the third dimension and even the third heaven. And they that have a mind that will change their bodies, their environments and whatever, to enjoy this wonderful world, and that throughout eternity, because the second heaven, even the world of grace, is defiled. But the third heaven, Lucifer never did get up there. Michael met him at the crossroads of Calvary, fought him in the second heaven, and he was cast down. The woman goes into a wilderness, the serpent cast out into the earth. That is that old crooked generation, that tree that John cut down. Calvary, the tribulation period, to bring his end, that Jesus might rise triumphantly in Revelation 19, to see him fall as it was in Calvary, where he defeated him. And that from heaven with the stars, or those not as a typical thing of the Jews and of Jesus who took the repercussion, but as Lucifer, the invisible infiltration and his invisible forces, even the spiritual angelic forces and the forces of night that God spared to give grace until the finishing of the conversion of the church. Let's just bow our heads for just a few minutes. Let's lift our hands up. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting that God may see Calvary and the nail prints, having engraven thee in the palms of my hand, that I might by way of remembrance remember you, to never forget you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just praise the Lord for a minute and love the Lord. Oh, Ramana Ramanaya. Holy. Urabanda Ramakarama Ramashanda Rianta Ramana Ramasaya. Ula mandali andali alamo shandali alamo sandor yandoramo sandoramanaya. Hala vala yandala volo sandala mali andali andalamo sai. Ura bandari andarabo shandari ataramandaramana masaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great and marvelous, holy wand of heaven. Lord, as we see that pearly white city descending out of heaven, how beautiful. Lord, as we behold the revelation of Christ, the unveil, the door open in heaven, Jesus, the sheepfold door. Rent that we might go through, Father,
even the middle wall of partition that Satan has set up between heaven and earth and the second heaven to keep us, Lord God, from that third heaven of Canaan as we move from the Egyptian way of social life, the benefit of grace, over the wilderness of intellectual reasoning and the conflict of the serpent that has climbed into the upper lintels, through the rent door, even as typified with Shepherd when they went into the galaxies. Lord, be with us and help us. Remembering the vision, Father, that Brother Gary had, where Brother Branham wanted us to help him in the ministry, and we did. But in that we told him we had a ministry of our own, and the connection of those together shows a carrying on, Father, of not rejecting the old, but the extension and the furtherance of the new. I ask you to bless us. Help us, my Savior. Help us. Let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest that light go out and that door be shut, and that black light of night cover the day star of your dawning within our heart. O God, of that intellectual veil of human reasoning, the veil of death and darkness, even Lucifer, the angelic one, lest he be between the body to be redeemed, the purchased possession, and the Christ, even the day star dawning within our heart. O my Father, help us, lest we be turned off in darkness and we forget and fail to incorporate it in our lives to the more earnest heed of that which we've heard and the way that we've heard it. Lest we become belligerent, and oh God, lest we become foolish with frolic and laughter and eating and drinking in the world, forgetting, and in that they do not like to retain Christ in their knowledge, even the spirit of truth, ever learning, can never find you, O Lord. And being turned over to reprobate mind to do those things that are inconvenient. They eat and they drink as it was in the days of Noah. They marry and are given in marriage even to the flood and the time of the going into the ark of the safety of Christ as you take your people in through the door to close it in the great waters and flood of your wrath, even as Calvary or as the waters of Noah come. A generation of fire and brimstone and the stars falling from heaven. Even as Joshua conquered when the sun stood still and the hailstones came from heaven, even as our brother Dwight said today in seeing the big hailstones fall in his dream last night. I ask you to be with us and help us. Forgive us our sins, Father. Take care of us in this meeting. Don't let us be overconfident, even as the brother that I saw in the vision last night, Father, that magnified himself before me and called himself the big great, the one that knew, and I was the small one. And even though there's none great but God, and as the song said, the glory is thine. And even though we're all small in your sight, yet, Father, his comparison in the vision was wrong, and he was the one that was small with all of his learning. You had not accepted him. And he was unbecoming to you as that unsightly and arrogant. All of his knowledge and learning, dear God, and skill and ability, you had rejected to the extent that there was no motive, no means, measures, or ends to his labor and his life. So I ask you to be with us and help us that we might love you, Father. Heal my people. Watch over them, our children, our loved ones. Forgive our enemies. Let's sing this course together. I'm going to have somebody dismiss you. Give me another key frame. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We will sing of his love. We will sing of his love
and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonderful love.
The time is close at hand, folks. Something that I spoke to my wife about a day or two ago, and a lot of times many don't understand and others don't understand because I don't detail and elaborate. One reason is because I'm without honor among you that are my own family, friends, and whatever. And it just sounds like talk. And you don't have the extensive sight for the dimensional comprehension. Much learning causes weariness of the flesh. The revelation and quickening is unto life, and that my words are spirit and life. But something that pertained to a certain thing that to me positively shows that the tribulation period is upon us. It makes it real clear as to what is happening and what is about to happen. I want you to bow your heads with me again. I want Brother Bullard to come up here. Brother Larry Bullard, I want him to come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer. As Larry comes to pray the closing prayer, Larry coming over has great significance. Great significance. From Pope Mississippi, the papacy, Atlanta, Rome, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar and his image, the plains of Dura. From Pope and corruption, having to do with bullfrog corners we spoke of, the family is redeemed from the rubbish pile, brought to honor and glory. Say a lot of things here concerning the little dog that came down from Eden that has to do with Red and a brother by that name. But anyway, some great things taking place. As Larry comes to pray, I want you to pray with him and ask God to help you. Even the thing that Larry's participating in now that has to do with something on his job is really amazing. Concerning some radiators that is to be cleaned, melted down, and put through the fire. The doing away with the old serpent. And that it relates back to the track and the rattle of the rails. As Larry comes, I want you to pray with him. Somebody got to the mountaintop and they saw Canaan. I saw him in a vision last night. And they were overconfident. And God was rejecting them. The mountaintop, Pope, Mississippi, Rome, and corruption to the one that was so sure, having to do with even what we're seeing concern another person. Having received the belt that we gave him and a few other things, sorrowful to reason. You can't make revelation as he tried to do with the mantle, which David Paul finally got a hold of. Just become a middle wall of petition, that's all. Between Father and Son. Okay. You remember how it went to Brother Billy Kirk, Brother Jimmy, the wilderness, the hunting. David, the church in the wilderness. Canaan. It had to do with Charles and the handkerchief. I drop these things in, not to weary you, because you can go whenever you get ready. But to them that are searching for the trail that leads to heaven and eternal securities and eternal life, this is just for them anyway. No one else will get it. They might have these things as they're pieced together by the great Spirit of God, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in him. The others will hunger and thirst after the world, because Satan saves the things that be of the flesh. And they that be of the body will go after the things that be of the flesh, of passions and food and money and whatever. They will follow after that, and more they'll get the stop, and they'll go out into the night of the intellectual reasoning. They have their reward. But Jesus said to them that had continued with him when they said, "What shall we receive?" You that have continued with me, Jesus said, through this transitional change of the redemption, through the regeneration of those to bring in for the Son of Man, "When I set upon my throne, you shall set upon 12 thrones with me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." When you come in, when I come into power as a membership of my body as the church, so shall ye also come into power. Ye also shall receive great power. Be dignitaries and statesmen, great governmental constraint and powers, in that you'll have the mind of Christ. Nobody can withstand you. No educational powers, no money powers, nobody in the earth, no religious powers. For you'll have the superseding mind of understanding that reaches far beyond all. Looking beyond that to rule with a rod of iron, as knowledge always rules in the earth. Not intellectual brilliance. Not because you've read Brother Branham's books or Brother Pike's books. Not because you've heard me preach or heard Brother Branham preach or others preach. Not because you feel that you look good or that you're the man. That you've got the personality, the youth, the appearance. Not according to age. Has nothing to do with it. Moses was 80 when he started his ministry. Has nothing to do with it. Strictly the mind of Christ is to the measure that you have of his beloved mind and spirit on the inside of it, of his love and grace and humility and submission and conformity, and of his power and his majesty, and all the rest of you are cut out in your intellectual form and brilliance and appearance. Whatever, you're cut out because you belong to Lucifer. That's why Hollywood is highlighted. That's Satan with his diamonds and his pearls and his covering among the stones of fire, his riches. Babylon is fallen. Come the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, as a stone down to the bottom of the pit. The angel dropped it. So goes Satan to be bound for 1,000 years and then destroyed in the lake of fire. Then comes the pearly white city. Things is happening at Bethlehem. Some can see, some can't see. As our brother comes to pray, consider all these things, because I took my time this morning. Most of you, all of you, have listened to a great degree. Most of you, real reverently, always that little troubling air that I feel, which is Lucifer that troubles God and troubles his spirit. But nevertheless, they that trouble me, that trouble Christ, God said he'll trouble them.